Welcome you to Bible class this morning. As we begin a new study, we're going to study the book of Acts. And so we welcome you, whether you're here or listening on the radio, for this new study. So, the book of Acts. You've probably heard it as simply Acts or Acts of the Apostles. That name is a little deceiving because it's not the Acts of all the apostles. Basically, the two that are talked about are Peter and Paul. The apostle John is only mentioned three times in the entire book. And James, his brother, sons of Zebedee, James is only mentioned once. And it's when Herod executed him in chapter 12. So it's really about two men, Peter and Paul. Okay. The book has sometimes also been called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, because, of course, it begins very much with the Pentecost event and how the Holy Spirit then not only worked in the disciples so that they finally understood everything, what was going on, what Christ did, that he was the Savior of the world, as they went forth and proclaimed the word, the Holy Spirit worked through that word to change the hearts of people to faith. So that's why it's been called sometimes the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, it's accepted that Luke is the author. But I want to show you why we say that, because a couple of things are very easy. A couple of things are you have to look for. I want you to start in Luke chapter 1. Go back to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read just the introduction there. Luke 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Now, turn to Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up from after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Theophilus, both books are written to Theophilus. Now, there's been a lot of debate about that, because Theophilus translated means beloved of God. So is this people in general, or is this an individual? It's probably best thought of that it's an actual individual, okay? An individual that Luke was writing to. There's no actual mention of Luke being the author in either book. But there are some hints. It doesn't start as Paul, as I, Paul, you know, writing to you. There's not any of that. But there are some other hints. Now, the first thing we know about Luke is he was a physician. How do we know that? Look at Colossians 4:14. I want you to see these things. We don't just make them up. Okay? Colossians 4:14. This is Paul's letter. Paul's letter to the Colossians was written while Paul was in Rome. Okay? In prison in Rome. Colossians 4:14. A very simple verse. And what does it tell us? Luke is a beloved physician. Okay? So there it is. We know that. And since Paul says Luke was with him, and Luke is in Rome, okay, Paul was in Rome, we assume that Luke is there also. But there's even more, okay? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 11. You're going to be looking up a lot of verses today, so get used to it. I don't do this to you very often, but 16:11. Now, when you're reading your Bible every day, this is the kind of verse you just read over and keep moving. But the important thing is here, so setting sail from Troas, that means the author is with Paul. Okay. Now, this is the first use of that pronoun. It doesn't show up again until chapter 20, verse 6. From the time we get 20, verse 6, from then to the end of the book, we have passages that talk about we. Okay? Which means Luke was with Paul. Now, the last passage is 2 Timothy 4:11. You don't need to look that one up. That simply says Paul is writing the second letter to Timothy, and he mentions that Luke is with him. 2 Timothy is written from Rome. So we have these constant references, and based on things that we're not going to analyze, the way words are used, the way phrases are used, the way it's written, okay, tells us that these two books were written by the same person. So it's really not disputed that Acts was a second volume written by Luke. Now, the difference is this. We're told when he wrote the gospel that he interviewed eyewitnesses. That is also true for the first part of Acts. If he spent all this time with Paul, he knew many of those things. But once we get to chapter 16 and after, Luke becomes an eyewitness of what is going on. Okay? So he's not just interviewing people anymore. It's eyewitnesses. Now, when was the book written? Well, we can be pretty accurate here, because Paul is still alive when Acts ends. The usual date that we use for Paul's death in Rome is 64 A.D. Okay? Now, therefore, since Paul is still alive, we know he's in Rome. He probably arrived in Rome by 60-61 A.D. So the material that's in Luke includes Paul teaching in Rome. So we can be fairly certain that the book of Acts was probably written in 62 or 63 A.D. Okay? We can be pretty sure by the material and by the date that we believe is Paul's death, 64. And of course, we know he was in Rome. So, the book was written by Luke from Rome about 62-63 A.D. Okay? Now, what was the purpose of the book? Well, volume one, he gave you the purpose. But volume two could be easiest summarized by simply saying it's to show the power of the gospel message. Power of the gospel message. As the preaching of what Jesus Christ did gets out, many come to faith. So it is emphasizing the power of the word, power of the gospel. The key verse for Acts, now I want to show you that, it's in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 8. And this has always been looked upon as the key verse in Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. All right. Imagine just concentric circles. Jerusalem, larger one, Judea, larger one, Samaria, larger one, to the ends of the earth. Okay? In other words, it's Jesus describing how this gospel message is going to be spread. It's interesting then to note that the gospel message book follows it until the message of Christ is in Rome. That was the head of the empire. So that's not by chance. Jesus is saying it's going to be spread to the ends of the earth, and for many people, Rome was the ends of the earth at that point because it was everything. Okay? So that's the key verse in the book to show how it's spread. The coverage of the book covers areas. If we think about Pentecost as being 30-31 AD, and then we think about Paul's life, and maybe the book takes us to 63, then this coverage of the book is about 30 years. Okay? Covers 30 years. So, whereas the Gospels cover about 3, this covers 30 years. As we go through Acts, you will not find times where it says, well, Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians while he was in Rome. There is no reference to any of Paul's epistles being written in the book of Acts. Okay? They're not referenced. They're not referenced. Okay? We have to piece that together on our own. On our own. Now, there are some key passages. We're going to call them summary passages, in that kind of mark off sections in Acts. And we're going to look at those today. So we're going to start at Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, this is the first one of those passages. Notice the emphasis, the word of God continued to increase. The number of disciples increased. And this is interesting, that many of the priests who were Levites and Sadducees came to faith. So that is a new twist, that is emphasized. Now look at 12:24. It's very simple. Okay? 12:24. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Okay? So this is a very simple one. Keep going. Chapter 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers. This is after the first missionary journey. Okay? Another summary statement of how the word. Now, keep going. 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now, the last one is the last verse of the book. 28:31. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. All right. The point of these verses is this. Remember when we started, we talked about maybe a title for the book is the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And the theme of the book is the power of the word. These summary statements at strategic points in the book of Acts bear that out. We should not fall into the thought that this book is about Peter and Paul. This book is about the Word of the Gospel. Peter and Paul were simply the instruments God used to bring about that Word. And the critical thing here is this. It's the Word that changes the hearts from unbelief to faith. Paul doesn't do that. Peter doesn't do that. It's the preaching of the Word that does that. We, as the people of God, in our witness, okay, in our witness, we can't be the ones that change the heart. All we can do is lay the Word before people, because through that Word, the Holy Spirit works, and He is the one that changes hearts. We do not. We, if we witness to someone, are just like Peter and Paul. God is using us as instruments to bring the Word, only the Word. And so these statements over and over again tell us that the important thing about this book is indeed the Word of God. Nothing else. The Word of God. That's what we want to focus on. That's what we want to be about. So as we go through this book, we want to focus on that, the Word of God. Not what Paul's doing, not what Peter's doing. What is the Word of God doing when they take this message to the world? Maybe the title of the book should be The Acts of God, The Acts of the Holy Spirit. But it does indeed point us to what we're about here. It kind of refocuses us on what we need to focus on, and not personalities and people. That's not the point. Now, I want to give you kind of a simple outline of the book. Okay? There are extensive outlines that are written, but we're not doing that. Okay? A simple outline. The first section is chapters 1 through 12. And if you had to title it, it would be The Church from Jerusalem to Antioch. It's moving north. It goes through Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. It basically recounts for us the first 12 years of the church. The first 12 years. It is predominantly, this section is predominantly about Peter. About Peter. The second section we can call, which is chapters 13 to 21, Paul's ministry, his journeys to take the message to the Gentiles. And so all three of his missionary journeys are included in this section as he preaches the gospel to the Gentiles. The third section is the latter part of chapter 21 to 28, the end of the book, when Paul is either on his way to or in Rome. Okay? Now, it's possible to divide the book to only two sections, which would be 1 to 12 is Jerusalem to Antioch, and 13 to 28 is Antioch to Rome. Okay? You want to divide it that way, you could. But this gives us a basis as we go through the book to deal with this. Now, having said that, we are now. There's one other theological theme we need to be aware of throughout the book. The Christian church was new. When Jesus came, he made it clear that he was coming first for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then it becomes clear it's also for the Gentiles. But we have to understand, we have to be aware, folks, that the gospel going to the Gentiles was a cultural disaster. The Jews had been taught for generations that they were God's special people. They were separate from the Gentiles and should stay away from the Gentiles. The Gentiles were known to be worshipers of idols, idolatry. The whole pantheon in the Greek setting, false gods, and the Gentiles were thought of and were very immoral people. Sexual immorality was accepted as part of Gentile culture. So the Jews were not just taught that they were better, they were taught that they were unclean. The Gentiles were unclean, and you should have absolutely nothing to do with Gentiles. You should keep yourself totally separate from them. And this started when they entered the Promised Land. What did God tell them when they entered the Promised Land? Don't have anything to do with these people. Don't worship their gods. Don't intermarry with their sons and daughters. And when you conquer them, wipe them out. That's what they believed about Jesus. So suddenly, now, that's what they believed about Gentiles. If you carefully go through the prophetic writings, you will find places where God makes it clear that the gospel, Savior, is going to be for the Gentiles. It's in there. Okay? It's in there. In Isaiah, it's in Amos, it's in there. But that was not on their radar. So suddenly, the church, predominantly to begin with, it's converted Jews. It's converted Jews. There are a few Gentiles. The centurion that Jesus healed his servant. The Samaritan woman. Syrophoenician woman that came. He healed her daughter. They're there. But it's few. Suddenly, the gospel is proclaimed on Pentecost, and all the people and most of the people in that audience were Jews because they were there for the festival, Pentecost, in Jerusalem. And they went home with the message of the gospel. But then suddenly, the gospel is going to Gentiles. It happens first, very blatantly, in Acts chapter 10, and we'll get there. When Peter is instructed to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and they can't, many people can't accept it and won't accept it. So what develops is an alternate theological position. Okay? And the alternate theological position is this. If a Gentile wants to become a Christian, they must become a Jew first. They must be circumcised, and they must try to keep the law. That's what will be the position of what is called Judaizers. Sometimes it's referred to in Acts as Pharisees that are now converted, but they are insisting that Gentiles have to become Jews. This was a major theological battle and dilemma for the early church. And everything depended on it. If you go the route of saying that a Gentile must become a Jew before they are can become a Christian, then you have just destroyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you have added works to it. You must now do these works before you can believe. And suddenly it isn't the gospel anymore. It's not the free gift of God's grace. It is a combination of grace and works. In other words, it depends on both God and you. Okay? God and you. This is what's at stake as this is battled out in the early church. Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ, the free grace of God by faith alone, or is it faith works? So everything depended on this. And Paul makes it clear where he stands. Only the gospel. No law of Moses. Peter makes it clear He says to the apostolic council, why in the world would we put this burden of keeping the law of Moses on the Gentiles when we as Jews can't keep it ourselves? That's what he said. So, we'll go through that. But just know that is an underlying current until we get to past chapter 15 in Acts. This is an ongoing battle. Okay? All right. Now, with those things in mind, let's just look at a couple of the first verses. Go to Acts 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So that's his summary of the first book. It was teaching the apostles the word. It was preparing them for what was to come. Through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay? The 12, ultimately the 11, and then the 12 again. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. This is the only reference to the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension that is in the Bible. This is it. We talked about that some last week when we talked about the fact that there are a number of appearances of Jesus that are recorded for us in the Gospels. Paul also talks about him to appearing up to 500 people. This happened over a 40-day period. So it was not a short period of time. It was not like he rose from the dead and was around for about 3 days and ascended into heaven. He was there for 40 days. Okay? And he showed himself, notice it says, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs in many ways. Okay? And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. We have those promises, especially in Gospel of John, chapter 15 and 16. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we have this 40-day period, and then it's another 10 days, and on the 50th day after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes to the 12, the 11, and then the 12. The fact is, have you ever thought to yourself what those guys were thinking for 50 days? Because they still didn't understand exactly what Jesus had done. Now, probably at the end of all those days and at the end of all those appearances, they knew he had risen from the dead. But they didn't know what the Holy Spirit was, except in a few words they'd heard him say. They did not realize that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would finally understand all of it. Finally, not only understand it, but be able to tie it into the Old Testament and preach about it. And we see that even in the early sermons of Peter after Pentecost, that he can do this. And it's all because of the Holy Spirit. But for 50 days, they were still wondering, what do we do now? That's why John says, one of them said, let's go fishing. That's all they knew how to do. So they went fishing. So for 50 days, they were working, not fully understanding what was going to go on. What was really about to happen to their lives. They just didn't understand. Now, I'm not going to start the ascension. The ascension in Acts is the most extensive account of the ascension that we have, but we'll take care of that next week and beyond. So this is how we start the book. This is some of the things we need to keep in mind as we go through the book, and will help us further better understand the book as we go. Okay, questions, comments?
The one place in Acts that we talked about some priests becoming Christians, did you not mention that some of them were Sadducees?
Yes.
Were those the people that didn't believe in the resurrection?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
They are. That's what makes it so remarkable, that they were the priests, the Levites, who did not believe in the resurrection. Yeah.
Just a comment about the becoming Jews. Paul, in his writing, in a sense, says Christians become Jews, being grafted in as children of Abraham by faith.
By faith.
So he kind of portrays that perhaps for Jews.
But not by works. You see, and what Paul really brings out wonderfully is the difference. There is circumcision of the body, and there is circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart is by faith. Circumcision of the body, if that's all you have, that doesn't count. It's what's in the heart. Yeah.
So verse 3, he says, he presented himself alive to them. Did Luke ever see the resurrected Christ? Is there anything biblical that speaks to that?
Nothing pops into my mind right off. No, I'm sure that he heard it from Paul, who had seen him on the road to Damascus. We also know he had contact with other members of the entourage, but himself, no. Don't think so. Right, other things.
Several things. The name Theophilus.
Yes.
Has anyone suggested that perhaps, if this is a singular human being, that it might actually be an alias or a code name to protect the identity of the real individual in that context?
Might be. Could be in the days of persecution. That's right.
Now, in chapter 16, at the Macedonian call, that appears to be when Luke joins Paul at Troas.
That's right.
And the third was that, you know, there are people who say, if you want to become a Christian, you have to do this. You have to ask Jesus into your yes. heart or say this yes. prayer and so forth. And then others will say, well, obviously the Holy Spirit was working faith in that person to want to
yeah.
ask Jesus in his heart. Would that same argument been used in terms of the Judaizers? If a person said, I want to become a Christian, and Holy Spirit was putting that into his heart, or wasn't that kind of reasoning used that we're aware of?
You mean the Holy Spirit was putting them into the heart that they should be circumcised?
Well, that they would be Christians, but this is the way they were going to be.
You're being too nice. First of all, no man in the world wants to be circumcised. Let's just get that off the table. Okay? This is a command of God.
So how did Paul and Luke, how were they, do we know how they became acquainted?
No, we don't. We don't know. All of a sudden, Luke just is with him. So we're not sure. Not sure. Maybe Luke was his physician because Paul kept complaining about bodily ailments. Huh. Yeah.
Regarding the timeline toward the end of Paul's life, he had wanted to go to Spain.
Yes, he did.
So if he did indeed get to Spain, it would have been after this portion of Acts, or?
It would have been after this portion. So let's say Acts was written in 61, late 61. He could have gotten to Spain and back by 64. We just don't know. And the other thing that should be mentioned is, as we read, the ending to Luke is very different. And some have said they believe that the reason Acts ends kind of abruptly is Luke was planning another volume, a third book. But of course, we don't have that. And we don't know anything about what happened to Luke after Paul's death. We have no information.
This kind of follows along Mark's question. With the first Christians being Jews, having converted to Christianity, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. Would the non-Jews, how were they thought of among?
You mean the Jews that hadn't been converted?
Well, no. The Gentiles before the thinking they had to convert to.
Oh, they abhorred them.
I mean, were they? But even in the early church, they didn't realize that Christianity was for both Gentiles and Jews.
Not initially.
Okay.
Yeah. One more. Nope. Okay. We're done. We'll continue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.